Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
So, Matt, you have certainty that you're coaching the 49ers game?
The operation's been normal, Jason, in terms of debrief after the game, coming in, grading the tape, meeting with the coordinators, and it's been normal operation.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was Jason Leisure from the Sun-Times. You hear him here on The Score as well, asking Matt Eberflus on Friday morning, will you be back as coach against the 49ers, or are you planning on coaching? Will you be coaching? And that was his answer, which we then later learned about an hour and a half after that was not the case. As Matt Eberflus is fired, that is why we are all here. We're talking Bears with you at 312-644-6767. Talking about Eberflus's firing, talking about what you want to see next, talking about what you might see next, and what it all means for the Bears and their 2024 season. Thomas Brown, the interim head coach. Let's get out to the phone lines before we hear from our buddy Dave Wanstead. He was on yesterday on the station, had lots to say. We'll bring back some of the best of that in a moment. But first, let's go out to Homewood, and Jay is up next talking Bears. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys, let me tell you something. The Thomas Brown, let me say this. You know, we know the Rooney Rule. We know that applies. We know what happens sometimes to African-American coaches, and sometimes it takes opportunities like this for them to get an opportunity. That is why the Rooney Rule is in place. But if Caleb clicks with Thomas Brown, and I know it's a small sample, it appears that they are clicking, and the sample size will get larger as the year moves forward. If they do relatively well, one could argue if they don't hire him, he needs a seat at the table. If that means going back down to offensive coordinator, whatever that may be, if he clicks with Caleb, he needs a seat at the table. And so that coach, they may bring in someone with a big personality. That coach may want his own people, so to speak. But it would be in the Bears' best interest to keep Thomas Brown. People would be concerned that if an African-American coach doesn't get a legitimate opportunity, we saw the debacle, and you alluded to it, we saw the debacle what happened with not picking Mahomes. And there was a racial undertone because they passed on Watson and Mahomes. And I know, you know, we realized that Watson had made some bad choices outside of the field, outside of football. But at that time, we didn't know all that. And so we know they went in a different direction, and that cost their organization, and we see the implications of that. So, you know, race is a tough topic to bring up because I know it makes people uncomfortable, but the reality is it's underneath the surface here. And I just want them to handle Thomas Brown to be handled the right way, all coaches. But this is uniquely a little different for obvious reasons. And so it's a complicated conversation. I just we're hoping for the Bears to go well, but it'll be interesting to see how this goes forward.
Jay, appreciate the call and some lots of interesting points there. I think Brown is going to have a real shot if this is a success going forward here. The wild card in that all, and I will say this, the McCaskies, if nothing else, they have shown, and I respect what you're saying, but the McCaskies have shown that they are not afraid to hire people of all races, creeds, colors, etc. They have an African-American team president. They have an African-American general manager, right? So if the best man for the job is Thomas Brown or is another black head coaching candidate, I have no doubt that they will hire that person. The wild card in here, let's say, and this is complete conjecture. The Bears are decent. They win a few games in December. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing horrible. And like you said, Williams and Brown have this connection. As they go into their coaching search, Brown will surely be a candidate. But let's say, and I'm going to use Vrabel because he's the easiest guy, they bring in Mike Vrabel and they want to hire Mike Vrabel. Does Mike Vrabel want to bring in his own offensive coordinator, just like you said, Jay? Or do the Bears, in a very Bearsy way, say, well, we already have an offensive coordinator and his name is Thomas Brown and he's under contract? Or does Thomas Brown then say, well, if you're not going to hire me to be the head coach, I don't want to be the offensive coordinator? We're getting ahead of ourselves here, but that's where my mind went as you were talking about some of the different possibilities there, Jay. But it's going to be interesting. And listen, Brown has 5 weeks starting with San Francisco next week. I know it's not a huge sample size. At San Fran, at Minnesota, home against Detroit and Seattle, and then they finish the season at Green Bay. I think we pretty much know right now they're not making the playoffs, but it's a good sample size. He's run the offense for the past 1, 2, 3 weeks, and he'll have half a season. Waldron got 9. He's going to have 8 games. He'll have that track record as the offensive coordinator. He'll have 5 of those 8 games as the head coach, and we'll see what happens. There's going to be a lot of weird stuff with Brown as the head coach now, right? Because Eberflus is gone. You're going to have Brown being the head coach and offensive coordinator. You're going to have Eric Washington calling plays. He hasn't called plays here. I'm not saying he can't. We just haven't seen it yet. Because Flus ran that defense. And whatever Flusian things that were going on in the building that Brown wants to change, well, guess what? He's undoubtedly changing them immediately. Right now, he's changing them. And we'll see if that has any effect. The Bears have lost 6 games in a row since, man, remember the good old days of October when they destroyed Carolina at Soldier Field and then destroyed Jacksonville in London? Yeah, that was fun. That was a good time.
Those were fun. Missed that.
The bygone era.
Eternity already.
Oh, man, of 6 weeks ago. Man, that was good stuff. Let's get back out to the phones. Jim is in Alsip, but he's up next on the Score. Hey, Jim.
Hey, great to talk to you guys.
Thanks.
What I think is seriously overlooked is everybody's talking about the offense and how Caleb and Coach Brown are hitting it off real well. But what about the defense? With Eberflus gone, who are we going to have to stand in to bolster the defense again?
Yep. Jim, appreciate the call, and sorry if I snipped you there, but no, that's literally the question on the defensive side is, Eric Washington is the defensive coordinator, but because Flus called the defense, Washington did not, even though his title is defensive coordinator. So how does that change how this unit shows up on Sundays? And we will find out. We're going to, I mean, the proof is going to be in the pudding. You're going to see it. There's a great story on The Athletic. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's from Adam Johns and Diana Rossini. It's on the aftermath of the Lions game and the firing of Eberflus and everything that went into that. And it's got some very interesting stuff in there about the locker room up in Detroit after the game and Jalen Johnson apparently, you know, coming back on Eberflus as Eberflus was trying to tell them they had to stay the course. I mean, the play, basically, the gist of it, and I'll let you read the story. It's a great story. But the gist of it is the players are pissed because they knew that their coaches were letting them down. And they were not going to remain silent any longer. And I'd be interested to hear Jalen's comments on this when they eventually are made. I know he's on Mondays with Spiegel and Holmes. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about that. But really nicely done by Adam Johns and Diana Rossini in The Athletic that came out earlier this afternoon. But some very interesting stuff about what happened after, in the immediate aftermath of that game in Detroit, how the players pushed back. We played some of their comments. You know, they flat out were basically acknowledging, well, yeah, we should have called a timeout. Or, you know, Kyler Gordon, I think it was, that wouldn't answer anything and just kept saying no comment because they wanted him to say something about his coaches, and he was being respectful to the coaches and just saying no comment. But when you're yelling, no answer, no comment, next question, you know what the answer is. You already know what the answer is. He doesn't have to say anything. One guy who did have lots to say yesterday was the former Bears head coach and now Score commentator. Our buddy Dave Wanstead was on with Gabe Ramirez and David Haw yesterday. So Wani has been in Wani could view this in many different ways. He was obviously the Bears coach. He has been a head coach in many different places. He's been let go in many different places. But he has seen it all, done it all in his career. So I want to play a few bites for you. The first one here, he talks about how a head coach needs to be in control of the room and really needs to interject himself into things and really lead things, run things. And Wani said that that is something Flus just did not do.
With me, now all of a sudden, it started bothering me going back to the Indy games when offensive play called. And I know that's not Flus. You know, you run an option on the 7-yard line on fourth down. You know, against Washington, you give the ball to an offensive lineman on the goal line, maybe the most critical offensive ball in the game, and he fumbles. I mean, to me, that's the head coach's responsibility. You know that, at least in my mind, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't give you the best chance to win. So you got to interject, even though you're calling the defenses, and say, hey, now we're not running that damn play. That doesn't make any sense. I want Roshan or whoever to carry the ball. That's the end of it. And then, you know, from there, it starts progressing to the end of the game where now he's under the spotlight because it's not the offensive coordinator, even though the head coach needs to be in control of every call, in my opinion. Not calling the plays, but you got to be in control of the flow of the game. Offense, defense, and special teams. And some things have happened now at the end of the games where we get maybe a chance to help our kicker and get the ball a little closer on the other hash if we want it. All of a sudden, the special teams runs out onto the field. They think we're going to, you know, kick, and then we go for it, and now we get the play in late. Well, that's all sideline stuff. As a head coach, you have to be in control of your sideline, your substitution. I don't care how many analytic guys we got, how good they are, or how many guys we got looking at 2 points or timeouts. The head coach makes the decision. And I think that got away from us. And you're the guy accountable, and it finally caught up with us this week.
Amen, Coach Wanstead, to those comments. Completely agree, and obviously he knows what he's talking about.
I know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah. Yeah, Yes, he does. And we know he knows what he's talking about because he tells us that, but we know from experience he knows what he's talking about as well. But, I mean, you know, that is spot on, right? You're the head coach. You are responsible for leading the team. Not your 23-year-old quarterback. Not your offensive coordinator who turned out to be a bum. Nobody. You are in charge. That is literally your job, is to be the leader of this team and set the tone. And the buck stops with you. Just like any president of the United States, you could take credit for stuff that happens, but guess what? You're also then responsible for stuff that fails. And even though you may have had nothing to do with it, the buck stops with you. Same thing goes for a head coach. You're going to take the wins when you get them, but you're also going to take the L's when they happen. One more Wani cut I wanted to play for you. There's been rumblings of players going up and talking to Ryan Poles about what they have seen or not liked in the locker room. And we certainly have seen lots more pushback over the last few weeks as things have kind of spiraled leading up to the firing. But here's what Wani had to say about the players going to Poles.
Yeah, I don't think they went up intentionally, but I think that, you know, Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, they're all in the locker room afterwards. And it doesn't take much, Dave, for Ryan Poles to walk up to a player after he loses a game like that one. He didn't give the players a chance to win it, really. And they say, oh, we feel bad. And the player says, well, we did everything that we could. You know, the players did everything that we could. So without saying it, you're saying it. And that was the way I read it. Just seeing some of the quotes, and I'm sure that the one-on-one conversations probably were a little bit more direct than that.
So that's Dave Wanstead. That was yesterday. There's more of that. If you want to hit the rewind on the Odyssey app, check it out. Some great stuff, as always, from Coach Wanstead, one of our Bears contributors, Bears experts here on The Score, and the rewind button there on the Odyssey app. He was on with David Haw and Gabe Ramirez yesterday, but Coach brings it up. Listen, they ran that option play down on the goal line against the Colts. They lose that game by 5. The handoff to Kramer that was fumbled was before the Hail Mary that shouldn't have been. That was a game you lose by 3. Then you come out and you get smoked by the Cardinals and by the Patriots at home because of, say what you will, after effects, residuals from that Washington game. But that's when you fire Shane Waldron. You come back against Green Bay. What should have been a walk-off field goal winning game against the Packers, you lose because of the block. What then could have been, I don't want to say should have been, but could have been a overtime come from behind feel good win against the Vikings is a loss because it was. And then Thursday against the Lions, you were setting up to force overtime or maybe go in for a touchdown. Once that went away, it looked like a game-tying field goal was in the offing, and you didn't even get the opportunity. You threw a weird play that, as we found out later, Caleb changed at the line. But again, your 23-year-old rookie quarterback is not in charge of maintaining the clock. That's you, the coach. And as a result, you ended the game losing by 3 with a timeout in your pocket. And then you got fired. So it not a great way to go out. Eberflus finishes with a 14-32 record. And this, to me,
in the career?
Yeah. Yes. And I get it. You're year 1, 3-14. You were not necessarily trying to win that year. But under Matt Eberflus, the Bears were 3-19 on the road, 2-22 against teams with winning records. 0-5 against the Packers, 2-13 against the division. All of that is really bad. And I give him a bit of a mulligan for the first year, but certainly not this year or last year. Time to take a timeout. We're going to get more of your calls here, not next segment, but the following segment. So please stay with us. Jim Miller, the former Bears quarterback, is set to join us next. We want to dive into Jim's mind about just how this all gets processed from the quarterback's point of view, the game situations, and the coaching situations as well. So former Bears QB Jim Miller is up next with us right here on The Score. That's Mike Esposito here till 5, 6, 7.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
Here's Williams going for the big ball, going for the big shot, and he hits it. Moore with the touchdown haul.
That's such a great situational awareness. Perfectly thrown ball, and what a route by Moore, resetting the defender on the field. And right here, watch how he gets up, shakes him to get his body weight and leverage to sit down, and then restacks him on the outside. And that's against Branch, who plays it well. But that's where he was really thinking it was going to be a little route on a third and short.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Highlight from CBS from Thanksgiving Day. Seems so long ago, but it was really only 2 days ago that the Bears played the Lions. A lot has happened since then, and we are back talking about it right here at Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Happy to be joined by our next guest, a former Bears quarterback and current host on Sirius XM NFL. We head on out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Pleased to be joined by Jim Miller. And Jim, thank you very much, first off, for hopping on with us. But before we get to the flu stuff, I want to ask you, as you're watching that game, forget about the end of game stuff for a second. What are you thinking as you're watching Caleb, the good and the bad, the first half when they couldn't really get anything going, and then the second half as they were coming back?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's inconsistent, you know, much like the Bears offense has been all year. And, you know, you can't fault Thomas Brown. He just got in there as the play caller. But I do think the past couple weeks they've been better. I think obviously the first half on Thanksgiving Day wasn't the best half, but certainly they came out the second half, showed some of their blue chip players, moved the ball, and were able to put themselves within striking distance to take it to overtime.
Jim Miller, our guest here on The Score. And Jim, to the last play, and as it's happening, as you're watching that, Caleb takes or the Bears give up the sack, Caleb takes a sack around 32 seconds left or whatever. As you're watching that and watching the play develop, what as a quarterback is going through your head? Is there a situation or is there a circumstance there when you as a quarterback, if you insert yourself into that, where you're like, hey, I better call a timeout here? Or is that something that you rely on the sidelines for?
Well, I think if you're a seasoned quarterback, yeah, you're calling a timeout. You realize that the coach has screwed the pooch, and these aren't the first coaches to do it. You know, even when I played there, I called timeouts when I needed to take a timeout. You know, the situation called for it. You know, things are out of sorts or somebody's hurt or this or that, but the situation commands it. Just to reassess everything, get yourself together. And unfortunately, it's happened a couple times this year that the Bears haven't been able to do that, where they're not communicating. Now, typically, it should be all your offensive coaches. Yeah, ultimately, the head coach is responsible. But whether it's the quarterback coach who's signaling in the quarterback to the communication system from quarterback to coach, he's got to tell him to call timeout. The OC should be signaling down to whoever is signaling in the plays to Caleb. Hey, man, get ready to call timeout here or clock it or what the situation commands for there. But doesn't look like anybody was communicating with one another, and it looked like they had never really been in that situation or had practiced it before. Somewhat baffling all the way around.
Agreed. And then as we found out after from Caleb, he's changing the play up there when, as the clock is ticking and they still have the timeout, obviously, that understandably, I mean, I get the thought, right? You want to run that play, get into field goal range and save the timeout for that. But you're burning all the time changing the play now at another point too, where somebody could have stepped in and said, hey, well, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's the quarterback coach. I mean, granted, the head coach has the ultimate responsibility. He's got to call timeout and get everybody under control. But the OC, the quarterback coach, the quarterback himself, they all should understand that situation. They know what needed to be done, and they failed to execute it because nobody communicated. Like I said, this is pro football. All right, it's called pro football for a reason. You need to run a professional outfit in those situations or you're not going to win a lot of games. And that's basically what's happening.
Talking to Jim Miller here on The Score. And Jim, you played in Pittsburgh. You played here in Chicago. You've obviously been a part of many different organizations, Michigan State, however far back you want to go to. But as you see it, and it's funny, I used the Steelers as a reference earlier because they've had a grand total of 3 head coaches in my lifetime, and the Bears, we know, have had, you know, many more times that, but you it really is, and I'm not trying to generalize here, but organizationally, the way the organization is run, exactly what you're talking about, stuff like that is important, and it does trickle down onto the field, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. You know, I think we know everything starts from the top. You got to do things right, you know, and of course, from their standpoint, the players are evaluating the front office and the coaches every bit as much as they're getting evaluated as well. You know, I think you've seen as the season has gone along some disgruntlements of, you know, amongst the players about the coaching, about the situations, about not properly communicating when things are not done properly and that they just let things go. And that's kind of the worst trait you could have in pro football is complacency. If you don't strive for perfection and you don't strive to do things right, you know, then you're not going to be able to manage 2-minute situations like what unfolded the other day. So, you know, so that all needs to change. And so, you know, for the players, they got to be held accountable just like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when Stevenson was basically benched for what, a series? Are you kidding me?
It wasn't a
There's
lot.
No discipline. Yeah. And so that should have been a time where the organization steps in and they fine the young man for conduct detrimental to the team to send a message to everybody that this is unacceptable. So you can't have the tail wag the dog, and that's been happening in Chicago far too long. The players need to be held accountable. They need to play better, and certainly the coaches need to put them in a better position to win games by managing and doing their job, like managing clocks and calling timeouts and doing what their responsibility is.
Now, Jim, Ryan Poles has talked about breaking the culture and kind of that, you know, the way the Bears have clanked along as the years have gone on, you know, from one coach to one coach to from one quarterback to one quarterback without sustained success. Poles has mentioned breaking that culture. They've never fired a coach in midseason. They obviously knew that Eberflus had lost the team. Is that still possible for this general manager, do you think? Is he still possibly able to break that culture?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think he's experienced it down in Kansas City. I think he knows what it looks like. You know, I think he knows what it looks like, but saying it and doing it are two different things. So he's had his own hand in the cookie jar by signing Nate Davis to three-year, $30 million deals and then just recently cutting him, hanging on to Velus Jones Jr., which was a lost cause basically after year one. So, you know, that's basically like me hoping that, a receiver gets open. You know, you remember how you used to say, hey, you don't beg a receiver to get open. Just move on in your read, right? You got to move on in your read. So when you draft a player and the evaluation comes in that he's a turd, you got to get rid of him. It's really that simple. So don't wait. Don't wait for it to get open. Don't wait for it to develop. Granted, we know quarterbacks take time to develop, but Velus Jones should have been an immediate impactful player, minimum in the return game like Tyreek Hill. He was none of those, and he was still on the team up till mid-year this year. Who knows why?
Talking to Jim Miller a few more minutes here on 670 The Score, and yeah, he was impactful, Jim, unfortunately, to the wrong way, and we saw it multiple times, and he kept getting chances until, as you said, this year. So as we go forward and you look forward, first I want to ask you about Caleb, and then I want to ask you about coaching. But for Caleb going forward, he's got another five games this year. Thomas Brown as the interim head coach, but also calling the plays. What do you want to see from a developmental standpoint from Caleb and also from Brown as they finish this season out?
I think for Caleb, the sack's got to stop. He's holding on to the ball way too long. You know, I think yesterday, the second half, he was much better at trusting what he sees and letting it rip. But, I mean, he's thrown some, the Minnesota game. I mean, ground balls, that one to Keenan Allen should have been a touchdown, for God's sake. Or DJ Moore, excuse me, should have been a touchdown. So he's got to play on time. He's got to play on rhythm. He obviously, yesterday, the only play that he seemed to know how to read was X shallow cross. And that's a fine play versus man coverage, but there's plenty of other plays that they can run. You know, he throws the wheel route to DeAndre Swift way too late. That should have been a completion on third down. So he's got to process a lot faster. And probably why he's not is because he's shell-shocked of where the next sack's coming from. So they got to get the protection fixed, and he's got to have a sense of urgency of dropping back and going through his reads and trusting that he's going to get to the right guy and what his read is. If you just go through your progressions, even if you don't know your read, you're going to get to the right guy, but you got to go through them quickly in order to do that. So hopefully he'll start to do that faster.
And as for Thomas Brown, what do you think he has a legitimate shot to stick as the head coach? I mean,
well, sure. I think he does. I think there's a lot on his plate. You know, here's a guy who was just really the passing game coordinator, and then he's the OC, and now he's elevated to delegating the whole team. You know, I wanted him to just focus on Caleb. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So that's what his job was supposed to be, and now he's delegating it to the whole team. He's obviously what they diagnose as the best leader of men. All right, obviously that's why they chose him to be the interim head coach, but now, to me, it spreads thin his ability to develop Caleb. So I think Caleb is the one who ultimately gets hurt by this move.
And last thing for you, Jim, and again, we really appreciate you hopping on to talk about everything that's happened here with Eberflus gone, knowing the organization a little bit, having played here for four seasons and been around the game for your whole life here. As you see going forward for the Bears, knowing the McCaskey family, how do you expect this coaching search to go, and who would you consider to be, I guess, favorites in this race?
Well, everybody's going to say, oh, get an offensive guy because you got to bring along Caleb. That's not necessarily true. You know, defensive guys like John Harbaugh, obviously he's brought along, you know, their young quarterback and Lamar Jackson, and plenty of other defensive coordinators have done it. They need to find a leader of men. Hopefully it will not be a first-year coach learning on the job. I would think you'd want a seasoned coach, a coach that's got to be very forceful with the players because the players haven't done their job. So install discipline, and certainly you got to identify the right guys. You know, so when you sign a guy for 3 years, $30 million, you better make sure he fits into your culture and plays the right position that you need him to play. And I would say the same thing about drafting players, you know. So cut bait early if you know the player's not going to develop. You know, obviously you got to target the right type of guy there. And certainly just look at the Detroit Lions. Obviously they've targeted the right guys for what they want to do, right? They kind of have a no-nonsense approach to them of the type of players that they draft. They're all football. They're all football. So we'll see where it goes for the Bears. It's an exciting time. I feel bad for Caleb because this stunts his growth, but their opportunity to get it right. You know, I think the fans have been thirsting for a winner for a long time, and rightfully so. And we'll see if the organization can get the right coach who can lead men to turn this thing around.
Appreciate your time, Jim. Thanks very much for the insight, and I'm with you. I'm with you on the leader of men thing, and let's see how this plays out for the Chicago Bears. In the meantime, we'll enjoy listening to you on Sirius, and again, thanks for jumping on with us today.
All right. Thanks for having me, man.
That's Jim Miller, former Bears quarterback, current host on Sirius XM, and you can find him on Twitter /X at @JimMiller_NFL. One of the first Bears quarterbacks I covered way back when, back in the late 90s/early 2000s, Jim Miller. It was good to have him on and good to talk to him. Let's catch up on what Jim had to say with you at 312-644-6767. We'll do that when we come back. We have one more segment here with me, Mike Esposito, as we talk about the firing of Matt Eberflus and what comes next for the Bears. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If they don't go for Ben Johnson or can't get Ben Johnson, or they're somehow, some way feel he might be still too young for the position, I doubt that. Or he doesn't like the structure that's set up there in Chicago, then the way I would go for Vrabel. You get yourself a Ditka-type sort of personality, stick him out there on the sideline, find the right offensive coordinator. Obviously, it didn't work the last time. And go to work and see how that works.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's Rich Eisen, NFL Network. That was his immediate reaction to the firing of Eberflus. You don't get the hot young coordinator in Ben Johnson, he would go for leader of men /new Ditka. Mike Vrabel. That's my nickname. It's not a nickname. I'm just making it up. I almost hate that he brings Ditka into that because it automatically brings this caricature into your head. Yes, Ditka was a leader of men. He ran that team along with Buddy Ryan and others, but I mean, he ran that team, but I get what you mean. I get what you mean with Vrabel. And listen, the more I think about this and the more I process this, I don't know that Ben Johnson or any hot coordinator, pick your guy, Cliff Kingsbury, whoever, unless the prospect of working with Caleb is just so great that they can't pass it up. I don't know that that's something that you come to. I mean, listen, we came into this season talking about the Bears as they've got the number one pick because of Carolina's, you know, bad play and their poor organization. You're going to get Caleb Williams. You're going to add him to this talent pool. You added players, not linemen, but you added skill position players. And that has been a downfall, the lack of linemen. But you thought this guy is coming in with such a great setup that this team has a chance to succeed immediately. And now we are here 12 games in, and you have not... You have not succeeded. You have fired your coach. You fired your offensive coordinator, and you're 4-8. Even though you have more points for than against, you're 4-8. Hoy vey. 312-644-6767. We're going to get out to the phones to finish the show. I want to read this text from our old buddy, Gridiron Assassin. Espo, hello, Grid. It's good to talk to you via text. John Harbaugh is a special teams coach who then became a DB coach to be more well-rounded. He was never a DC. This is true. Also, believe it or not, Lovey had a worse winning percentage at Tampa, Illinois, and Houston than Trestman, Fox, Nagy, and Flus. once he got whacked. I did not realize that. I didn't take time to do the math. But yes, Lovey, as a proud Illini, I know he did not do great things down there. I know he was bad at Tampa and at Houston, although we have him to thank for the Texans beating the Colts and the whole draft pick thing with the Bears getting the first overall pick, don't we? Anyway, thank you, Grid, for that. Let's get out to the phones as we finish the show. Let's start in River Oaks. Derek is up next here on The Score. Hey, Derek.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, Derek. How you doing?
A couple of things. The Bears need to hire a dynamic coach, whether it's defense or offense, because they have a franchise quarterback, which they've never had. They've never had a quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in a season. So they have to get the head coach right. Now, if they leave Mike Warren and they put him in charge, Mike Warren is a dynamic leader. He built Minnesota's stadium, which is outstanding. He led the Big Ten. So they're the number one.
Derek, we're getting some static, some interference there with your line. Appreciate that. I agree with the leader of men thing. They absolutely have to do something there. The clear sign that Flus lost the locker room, I mean, it went from they were biting their tongues to they were no commenting things after each incident, and then the Lions thing was the breaking point. The finishing that game without attempting a field goal and with a timeout in your pocket and blowing that was the last straw. And as we have found out, the players not only were pushing back to polls, but in that Lions locker room were pushing back directly to Eberflus. So we appreciate that call, Derek, and thanks for your points. Let's talk to Westside Mac here. He's up next on The Score. Hey, Mac.
Thank you so much. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Mac.
Bears kind of messed it up for us. But anyway, I wish, you know, somebody would, you know, point out the fact that what we saw Thanksgiving Day is the result of inexperienced coaches. And why would you go and hire inexperienced coach that lead your number one quarterback? What you're doing is destroying the young man before his career gets started. I hope that'll change. Go out and get a good experienced coach. And then another thing, they talk about how many times the quarterback is getting sacked, but ain't nobody talking about why he's being sacked. Just put yourself in a quarterback position. Do you think you would be a good percentage passer with the defense all over you before he get the football from the center? Thank you for taking my call. Let's address these issues, please. Thank you so much.
Will do, Mac. I agree with you completely. That was one of the main items on my list for organization / general manager, is that you put the number one pick, the generational quarterback talent that we all heard him called leading up to the draft, and I'm not saying he's not, but you put Caleb Williams in a situation where he is now taking the most sacks in the NFL. And granted, yes, some of those are his fault for holding the ball too long, but a lot of them are not his fault because the offensive line is not doing its job. And that rests solely with the general manager. The offensive line has been a very big disappointment this season. The offensive line, you can actually argue, cost Matt Eberflus' job. Finally, in that Lions game, the hands of the face by Tevin Jenkins nullified a completion that penalized them and pushed them out of field goal range. And then they took a sack, and we know how all that ended. But no doubt about it, Mac, the offensive line is solely on Ryan Poles. He came out even before the season started and said how much he loved the depth he had on the offensive line in addition to the people on it. And that has obviously not worked out. That has been a giant failure of this year's team. And, you know, Poles, it's interesting because he's had lots of home runs. You know, the trade with Carolina being the biggest one. But he's got a lot of big misses, too. The offensive line this year, including Nate Davis, we'll lump all that together. It was a huge miss. Chase Claypool, huge miss. You know, they're there. There's a lot there on either side of the ledger. I still overall think he will get another chance. I think we would have heard by now if he wouldn't. I think he will continue to try to build this team. I love the talent he put around Williams, except for the line. But then, you know, is the Waldron thing, and, you know, we'd have to dive more into this, you know, is that a Matt Eberflus solely hire? I would assume he'd have to have sign off on that from the GM and from the team organization brass. If Flus wanted Waldron, I'm sure Poles would not overrule him. But, I mean, did anyone talk to any of the Seahawks people or any of the other NFL people? It seems pretty clear that Waldron was not that highly thought of in that building in Seattle. So we might want to take a look at that.
Good luck to y'all.
Yeah, good luck to y'all. James in Indy is up next here on The Score. Hey, James.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, James.
Man, it's so funny how history repeats itself in less than a year. Poles has two jobs this offseason. Obviously, fix the line and find a quarterback whisperer head coach. I like what he's done. Like you said, he's had some home runs. This is a process. He's trying to get this organization into the modern NFL era and go offense. He's had some hits and some misses. So here's my idea. I like what Thomas – I like the few little flashes I'm seeing that with Thomas running the offense. I like what he's been doing. So what I'm talking about, history repeating itself, they went all in, taking Caleb Williams and not retaining Justin Fields. They're in the same situation with this head coach offensive coordinator situation. Why don't you, okay, go take a offer in on Ben Johnson. Bring him here. Keep Thomas Brown as the offensive. Make him the official offensive coordinator. Let's say Ben Johnson comes here and he's just a flash in the pan. He looks great what he's doing with Detroit, but then when it's time for him to take on the head coaching job, he flames out. That way, unlike Justin Fields, Caleb Williams situation, if you go all in on something and gamble, at least this time you got a backup plan because Thomas Brown is already here. He's already working with Caleb and the offense and the personnel. You already have a solid backup plan.
Yeah, James, appreciate that. We have to get moving here, but appreciate the points and the calls. Love talking to all of you today, and it'll be interesting to see because the one thing the Bears have shown us aside from John Fox, the Bears have not hired anyone with head coaching experience in the NFL before. That goes all the way back to Wani and Ditka. These are all guys that were first-time NFL head coaches. So if you're going to hire a guy like Vrabel, you're going to have to pony up. I'm sure there'll be other people that want him, and he obviously comes with that experience. Or do you go, as our last caller said, do you go for Ben Johnson? And I don't know Thomas Brown's contract status, but I believe since he was just brought in this year that they have him under contract for more years. I would imagine they have him for another two if they had Waldron on a 3-year contract. Anyway, we are late. I want to thank our guests today. Thanks to Adam Rank from NFL Network. Thanks to Jim Miller, the former Bears quarterback. Thanks to Tyler Buterbaugh. Great job producing the show. Thanks to all of you for calling and texting and participating, and we will see what the Bears end up doing as we go forward. We'll surely have all the press conferences, Thomas Brown and whatnot, coming up on Monday. And in the interim, stick here with The Score. We'll keep you posted on everything going on with the Bears. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Good night, everybody.
All right, I got to go here, guys. I got something.